verse 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a blessed week and the safety of us and our families. Although we are currently going through tough and challenging times, we pray for guidance through rough waters, and we put our lives in your hands, my Savior. Sometimes we forget to rely on you, God, and when facing hard tasks, we lean on our own understanding. But we ask for your guidance now, Lord, through the next coming week and the weeks after. We pray for all the struggling individuals and families and those who need your love and guidance in this moment. We thank you for the ability to share the gospel, even though we can't be together to worship in person. We look to you to give us the wisdom and strength to face our difficulties and get stronger. We put our trust in you with gratitude for your love and protection. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hi everyone, I'm Andrea, and Grace asked the youth to think a little bit about where we find peace and joy in suffering, and she asked me to say a few words today. I know that suffering means different things to different people, and so I won't try to speak to everyone's experiences, but I do want to share how I've been dealing with these tough few months. Some things that I found that have helped me maintain some level of joy and peace in this difficult time was getting outside and, you know, getting exercise, keeping close contact with family and friends overseas in ways I've never done before, like Zoom. And a new family favorite that actually started during COVID-19 on YouTube was the very popular web series Some Good News, hosted by John Krasinski. And for those of you who have not watched it, I highly recommend you do so. It was started by comedian and actor John Krasinski because he wanted to highlight the good news during a time when everyone was focusing on bad news. And to quote him, he said, "We are all going through an incredibly trying time, but through all the anxiety, through all the confusion, all the isolation, all the Tiger King, somehow human spirit found a way to break through and blow us all away." That's exactly what it did for my family. We laughed and we smiled a ton, and I'm actually gonna call my dad out on this a little bit, but he even cried a little because of how heartwarming and positive the show was. But most importantly, I think that John Krasinski is really onto something. There's value in finding the good within the bad. And he wasn't the first one to say this. Even Paul in the book of Philippians, I believe it's chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, he said, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." I really took this to heart, and so that's what I've been trying to do recently. I've been trying to see the good, try to be the good for others, and trust that God is with us in this uncertain time. Thank you.
So today I'm going to be sharing my experience of how I deal through suffering. So through my recent experience of enduring through suffering is dealing with situations and all people that just infuriates me a lot. Now I can agree on the statement with a lot of you guys, since this pretty much happens to everyone, and you might say it's not much of a big deal, but actually hear me out, I've got this interesting story for you. So this happened on a Monday. It's sports science class, and we did this little experiment to investigate body response to exercise or whatever. End of the day, I asked one of my group mates to send me the results so I can put it on the assignment. Out of nowhere, this guy, who wasn't in class, so who was absent during Monday's lesson, popped out of nowhere and tell me to shush. It just infuriates me a lot. Because reason one, didn't contribute to anything because he was absent. Reason two, straight up rude. Now, it makes me mad. Of course it makes me mad. But what has God taught me through this is that just have your sense of self-confidence. Just be nobody's pushover. Now, luckily for me, I was able to channel these frustrations and anger to a musical artistry I call known as beatbox. Now, some of you might have heard of this already, and some of you might haven't. So, here's a little taste for you. Drop it.
I'm here to share something with you today, so yeah, just hear me out. Well, I used to think that the world was meant to be perfect. Those in power protect the weak, and people respect each other no matter how they look or how cuff-skin or religious they look, enough, it doesn't matter. But in reality, it's just the opposite of what is happening in the current world as we know it. But God once said, "Do not judge others, and I will judge for you." And during times of fear, he said, "Perseverance creates character. Character creates hope," which are building blocks of life, you could say. And you can accomplish these by challenging yourself to not be fearful in fearful times, which just kind of doesn't make any sense. But yeah, still go with it because it does make sense. Because if you can't control it, then why are you still scared about it? I mean, like literally, it doesn't make any sense. So it's like not that hard. So you can try it out in your daily life. And remember, whenever you're scared or brave, and whatever emotional condition you are in, God will always be with you. And yeah, that's all I wanted to share with you. Thank you, and may God be with you, always.
What gives me joy in times like these is doing what I do best. Nothing. I like doing nothing, but I also like cooking and playing video games, and I've also made like $10.3 off of video games and other stuff so far. So yeah, I guess that's also nice. And yeah, hanging out with family sometimes, not most of the time. Yeah, that's about it. Okay, bye.
So where I find comfort in times of struggle is just like talking to my friends and playing video games with them, because like I don't have to think about it as much. Another good thing is reading. Again, it takes me away. I don't have to think about it. Basically, just I escape into a different, like, I just do it where I don't have to think about what's currently going on, and then I can just like relax, and it takes my mind off things. And since I'm not in a position to do much about anything, like I don't have social media, I can't do anything really. That's just the best thing for me to do, because just exposing myself to that is not healthy. Yeah, that's what I do.
For the sake of proper introductions, my name is Armel, and regarding the question, where do we find peace and joy in the suffering? What I often do is, when I'm feeling low, I talk to my parents about it, because they have a lot of wisdom from their experience, and they often know how to cheer me up and reassure me. Or even watching a movie with my family or enjoying a book. Those are the small things that I do that make me feel better and get through what I'm going through. But when I feel like there's nothing that can get me out of that dark place, and nothing brings me joy, and everything seems hopeless, what I've learned is that verbally declaring God's promises is the only way that can get, the only thing that can get you out of that dark place. I've learned that knowing is not the same thing as believing, because I may know a verse because I've read it 1,000 times, but that doesn't necessarily mean I believe the verse in my heart. And so I found that verbally declaring God's promises out loud, if I have to, and writing them down over and over again, or making posters and sticking them on my wall, or putting a sticky note on my computer, those things that are the things that instill God's truth within my mind and help me overcome those negative thoughts that are making me struggle in life. Declaring God's promises verbally and meditating on them day in and day out until I believe them.
Wow, the future is definitely in good hands. Praise God. Good morning and welcome again to Youth Sunday. I'm going to just quickly slide through a few of these so you know who has spoken. The question I have for you at home is, where do you find peace and joy in suffering? So I'll go through your answers a little bit later so you'll have time throughout the message to share. So we had Marcus, Andrea and Sean, Luke, Will and then as Armel introduced herself. Okay. Just before we go back into the Bible reading, I just wanted to say it's a privilege to be able to be asked to speak at other churches and for other events, but being in your church home and having the opportunity to share is very special. So thank you for the opportunity to do so. Alrighty, I have about 10 minutes to bring us all home, so buckle up. Here we go. My first job as a 15-year-old was working at a very busy and popular McDonald's. So I was the French fry girl. So my job was to haul large boxes out of the freezer, separate the fries into baskets, and put these baskets into boiling hot vats of oil. It was Sunday lunchtime. I just finished church. I was dropped off to do the lunchtime shift. People who had also finished church, their sporting events, families getting together, etc., were all at this McDonald's, which is where I knew where I lived. Peak lunch rush. But I got distracted. And I missed my timing. And I didn't put the fries down. And everyone in drive-thru and front counter, it was all banked up. And the manager, who was the most strict, the fiercest, the one that everyone feared, came round the corner. What's the hold up? We're waiting on fries. And I just felt like everyone was staring at me in shame and disbelief. And she yelled at me in front of everyone. How could you get one simple thing wrong? You had one job. I was embarrassed, I felt shamed. For a 15-year-old, to me that was suffering. I wanted to jump into that boiling hot vat of oil and die. I just wanted to die. After that day, I had the choice. Do I quit or do I persevere? I lasted 2 more years and I had many other roles and responsibilities, not just fries. This happened 25 years ago, and yet it is still so, so vivid. But after this moment of suffering, what if I had quit? What if I didn't persevere? Then I wouldn't have had and developed the life skills that I actually use now. Things like working in a team, taking instruction, learning to be reliable, accountable, time management, being organized. But most of all, learning to work under pressure. And through 5 different industries in 20 years, I still use these skills, amongst others, to this very day. I'm going to share with you 2 other significant things that happened in my life where I and my family did suffer, but how we were able to find peace and joy during those times, and why I remained hopeful. So let's go back to the reading that Megan read for us. So Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, but he's writing it as a letter to introduce him coming later on to speak and to meet with the Christians, the Gentiles, the Jews as well. He was actually in Jerusalem at the time. He had to be called there due to more urgent and pressing matters. But he was there to encourage these people of God. But why write to the Romans? They were powerful, proud, and well provided for. Whether they were open to it or not, Paul is sharing the truth about who God is, his promise, what he's done for us, and what we have in Christ. It's all very reassuring and lovely. And then he hits us with the hard reality of life. Therefore, and we need to know why it's therefore. So in chapters 1 to 4, he's already started to establish what Christ has done and what we have in him. Therefore, since we have been justified, made right, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But not only so, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the power of by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So we're going to break down the last three verses. We rejoice not because of, but in our suffering. Paul does not advocate a morbid or sad life, but a joyous and triumphant one. So we don't rejoice in our suffering, but we don't rejoice because of our suffering, but in it. Verse 4, a follower of Jesus can rejoice in suffering because we know that it is not meaningless. Part of God's purpose is to produce character in us, and the character that he's talking about is the character of Jesus. It's the fruit of the Spirit. There's 9 of them. Do you know what they are? Do you remember what they are? And we're not leaving until we get all 9. All right, go, just yell them out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All right, you can leave after this. Not yet, though. Not yet. All righty. And finally, we hope in Jesus. The hope we have in Jesus is not the same as unfounded optimism. The word optimism is not found, not once, in the Bible. In fact, when you look up the word optimism, the word hope is referenced, but not the other way around. In fact, the hope that we have is the hope of reassurance that our destiny is based on God's love for us, revealed to us by the Holy Spirit and demonstrated through Jesus' death. Are we all different? Yes. Do we each have a story? Do we realize that our personal relationship with God is also different and unique? There's a saying that's going around at the moment, we're all in the same boat. I disagree and I'll tell you why. We are all in the same storm. It's external, it's beyond our control, but we're not all in the same boat. Every boat is different. What you go through is going to be different to what I go through. What I suffer is going to be different to what you suffer. Another thing. Comparison. I won't compare what I've been through to what you've been through and vice versa. Don't compare churches, especially in this online space. Don't compare pastors. Don't compare wives. Don't compare your relationships, nor your children, nor your youth and their achievements. The sun and the moon shine at different times. Each will have their moment to rise and shine. From experience, I know that comparison is a toxic catalyst to disunity, disharmony, and a distorted view of ourselves, the people around us, and consequently of God and how he sees us too. Please don't compare. There are different types of suffering, and there are different ways in which we persevere. There are different ways in which God builds our character, the fruit of the Spirit. Everyone experiences suffering differently. Therefore, we persevere differently. Our character is developed differently. but our hope is in one person and for one purpose. So why am I emphasizing difference? Because despite our different personalities and circumstances, God comes alongside us personally, individually, and ministers to us, where we can realize it's Him and we can respond accordingly. He created us uniquely, so why shouldn't He develop our character uniquely as well? The way He builds perseverance in me is going to be different to the way He builds perseverance in you. The way He builds character in me is going to be different to the way He builds character in you. But we share the same hope that doesn't disappoint us. Who and what we place our hope in ought to be the same. We worship and obey the same God who has poured out His love for us in our hearts, and the same power of the Holy Spirit is what unites us. His steadfast and enduring love, what we talked about yesterday in CAM. His wisdom, His promises, His sovereignty is what we build on and what we stand on. 20 years ago, Dad left our family, and this caused significant physical health and financial problems and stress, both for me personally and for my family. But I remained hopeful. Why? I found peace and joy during this time because I realized God is with us, was with us, and continues to be with us. Look at that face. That's a face of joy right there. Archbishop Desmond Tutu was and still is a significant voice of truth, and it was during the apartheid movement in South Africa. And this is what he says about suffering. He's referencing, he describes our Creator as the God who is there with us in the muck. God does not take away us, doesn't take our suffering away, but He bears it with us and strengthens us to bear it. So it's taken from a book that Pastor Steve lent me, which I've thoroughly enjoyed. I'll give it back. So God will use our suffering to develop our perseverance, to build our character, the fruit of the Spirit, and the result being hope. That hope is what people will see in us, in those small but sure steps of faith. We will see revival not only in ourselves, but revival in the world around us. But it must start with us. It must. And it must start with our words and in our actions as well. When I was 30, and after helping to raise 2 girls over 5 years and throughout the relationship and the marriage, I went through a heartbreaking divorce. But I remained hopeful. Why? Because I found peace and joy in suffering, because I knew that the heartbreak was not going to last. Don't be ashamed or afraid of what you are going through, what you've been through, and most likely what you will go through. Because God is creating you to be a person of perseverance, of character, and ultimately an example of hope to the people around you. In your walking and talking, your breathing, your singing, you are the example of hope people are needing to see. Perseverance and character reveals what God has intended and continues to intend for you in the first place. So to our online family and friends, where do you find peace and joy in suffering? For everyone, it is different, and only you can answer that. But allow me to encourage you with this. The realization that during our suffering, this is for our good, is what gives us joy. The realization that during our suffering, God is with us, this is what gives us peace. The realization that our suffering will not last is what gives us hope. And this realization is and through the power of the Holy Spirit. let me lead you in prayer as we conclude together. Father God, we thank you for this time together. We acknowledge that whatever we're going through, we can't get through it alone. You are the God who sees. You are the God who hears. We worship you and we love you and we follow you because we have seen you move. You are living and breathing in and around us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that anyone who is going through something or has been through something, Father, that you meet them. You meet them here, whether it be for the first time or meet them again. Lord, we are sorry for the way that we have called upon you when times are tough, but we forget who you are and where you are when things are going great. Help us to not treat you as a vending machine, but to acknowledge you in our highs and in our lows. You are the provider of peace. You are the provider of joy. You are the provider of hope. Father, if we've never met you before, don't know you, may this be a time where we just surrender to the power that you have in us, to persevere with us, to build us in our character, and to give us the hope of who you are and what you will do in us and through us for your glory and as an example to others. You need us, Lord, but we need you. We give you thanks and we praise you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good to be here, church, and let me add my welcome to everybody else's, those online and those in the house. It's good to be together. My teen years were tumultuous ones, hard years, but those years actually became defining for my faith. The suffering I went through during that times were the seeds that God used to grow me in my journey towards him. The things that I went through during that time actually allowed me and encouraged me actually to push away from God. They brought up questions for me of where was God in the midst of the suffering? Where was the church? How did I bring these things together? Anger grew in my heart and I resisted God and what he might be in that moment. So I walked away from God and I walked away from the church. And instead of dealing with my anger, actually emptiness began to creep in where the anger was as well. My suffering had no meaning. If there was no God, then who could I blame for what was happening in my life? I knew there had to be more. And as the youth shared and as Grace shared, what God can do in the suffering, God was working in my heart as well. I came back to church. I came back to God looking and pressing in. The God I had grown up with was a God more of judgment and condemnation. I needed to discover who God really was, where he was, and how he works and walks with his people. The youth has shared some of what they're going through this past year, whether it's been COVID-related challenges they've faced from other people, and you all have a battle that you might be going through as well. These are good questions to ask as our youth, some of them are going off to college. It's the time to ask the big questions of life. It's that time where your faith has to become your own, not just coming to church because your parents do, but who is God to you? I had to rediscover him afresh, and we all have to make that journey to having our faith be our own faith, to pressing in when things don't make sense, not just adding to the doubts and the questions, but pressing in to those questions, looking for answers, reading, asking parents, asking your youth director, asking friends, where is God in the midst of all of this? Don't stop asking those questions and don't stop looking for the answers. See, I had seen God as a God who was on a judgment mission to come and judge us. I had to rediscover Scripture. I had to rediscover who he was. And John 3:17 was a rediscovery for me. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, God is on a rescue mission of restoration. He's on a mission to come find you, to come seek you. And that was the God who I rediscovered. He was not distant from me and my suffering. He had not left me, but he was actually a God who was full of compassion, who draws near in the suffering, who he himself draws to suffering in order to save us. That was the God I rediscovered, that God was actually present with me in the challenge and was wanting to reach me if I would open my heart to it. He didn't cause the pain. He wanted to bring his relief and comfort. I rediscovered 2 Corinthians and the verses that Paul writes here. Verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. What did that verse mean to me as a 15-year-old? It meant that God knew what suffering was, and he knew what comfort was, and he knew how to bring it. That God could actually meet me in that place of pain, that he sees me. That was a huge moment for me. I can remember my youth pastor to this very day, that very night where he unpacked these verses for me. And the light bulb went on. And not only that, does God comfort us in this. He uses the ingredients of the challenges we walk through for good. He doesn't cause those bad things to happen in our lives, but he'll use that stuff to minister to us and to minister to others. That anger and emptiness I had was beginning to be transformed. And God was at work. His Spirit was at work. And I was empowered to minister to others, even then as a high school student, reaching out to others who were going through their struggles to bring the comfort that I had been given by God and to give that to them, whether it was talking with my sister who had went through similar things, talking to a classmate. But it was the seeds also of ministry and ministering to others out of the comfort God brings to us. And God does the same for you. He uses those ingredients of challenges and can make good out of them, not only for your life, but for the benefit of another. See, we worship a God that doesn't abandon us in our suffering. We actually worship a God who draws near to us in it. He's a God who walked to the cross for our benefit. He journeyed to suffering because of his great love for us. And if you're at home, now's a great time to get bread or a cracker and juice and wine, because this very symbol, this very sacrament, this sacred moment, we remember that God actually journeyed to the cross for us. He actually entered suffering on our behalf to bring his transformation, to bring his love.